So anyway, this is a really important topic, and some of it's kind of fun. It's kind of like after a long day here, we're going to talk about taxes and all that fascinating stuff. I almost feel like we should be doing jumping jacks or something, but we'll do our best to keep you awake. So
yeah, I think before we jump in, I want to preface this all with just acknowledging, first of all, this program. This program is absolutely wonderful. You guys don't know how good you have it. A lot of other states don't have this, and Steve and I teach all over the country. You also are so lucky to have a fantastic pool trust resource, and we'll brag on Haley a little bit later here. But also, you guys have corporate trustees who care. Did you hear Nancy? She's awesome. And you have the fine ladies over at American National, and like I said, Nancy and all that. And I'm just going to be honest with you, that is not the case all over the country. And so that's what really we're talking about here. We're going to try to help educate you as attorneys, as counselors for trustees, but also what else is going on in the country. So if you have someone moving, for example, and you're looking for a trust company in New York, right, what to look for and certain, you know, duties that you have, you know, when you're acting as counsel. So let's jump in.
Let's do it.
I'm going to go ahead and skip that because the sort of the national landscape, and you'll see, you know, when Steve and I, you know, speak together, we kind of go all over the place. So just bear with us. We'll get to the point eventually here. You know, there's been a real consolidation of big national trust companies. Again, you guys are lucky. You have these firms and these institutional trustees here in Texas that actually do this work very, very well. But the ones that I'm showing you right here, there are some pretty highly publicized court cases that show, you know, potentially they may not be the right fit for your, especially for special needs beneficiaries because of the in-depth knowledge that's required, right? I always call special needs trusts trusts plus. In other words, you have to know all the legal requirements of a regular trust, spendthrift provisions, right, HIMs, et cetera, investments, taxes, plus you have to know, which, you know, this conference has done a great job of knowing all of the beneficiaries' public benefits. So when we're out there, you know, sort of looking for successor trustees, consider a pooled trust. Consider a pool trust who deal with thousands of beneficiaries that have these sort of unique circumstances, the very complex waiver programs and things like that. And with that, let's talk a little bit about successor trustee liability, Steve.
Okay, and just getting into successor trustee liability and even the whole thing about trustees, for those of us that are planners, you know, a lot of times we mistake planning for producing a document. Now, look, I am the author of the Elder Council Trust, which everybody knows is the finest document in the land. But it is
totally
worthless.
It's a silver bullet trust.
It will resolve all your issues. And if you believe that, that's it really comes down to the trustee. And going back to this, special needs planning is a long-term game, you know, and it also is a team sport in these things. And, you know, I've been doing this for 30 years. I've been arguably involved in disability work my entire life. And I will tell you, in the last 30 years, the changes I have seen. I used to refer everything to San Juan Bank. Wonderful group. There is no San Juan Bank now, right? I mean, it's been gobbled up by all these groups. No matter what you're doing, you have to plan far ahead and as many choices as you can. Choices are good because, once again, Cadence Bank, wonderful bank, Nancy Sosa, but you know, it's only as good as the trustees that are working there, right? And I've seen this. I've seen major changes in trust companies where they change personnel, change their focus, and off to the races. So let's get back to what we're supposed to talk about. Successor liability of trustees. How many of you folks serve as trustees out there? And the rest
wow.
of them?
Wow.
My goodness Far gracious. Out. That's getting to be more and more. By the way, I visited Robert Fleming's office once to see what it would be like to be a trustee, and I came back from that going, under no circumstances will I ever serve as trustee. And then I took over as trustee of the Golden State Pool Trust, and now I've got 250 beneficiaries. I will tell you, it changes your focus on planning when you're the trustee and you're the one that has to do this. When you're talking about successor trustees and successor trustee liability, you know, not only for those of you that are serving as trustee, but you, those of you that are counseling folks, we've got some key cases that you want to take a look at. And, you know, so part of that is that a successor trustee could generally not be held liable for acts or omissions of failures of other prior trustees, but that's not totally so. And that's where some of these cases that we have in here can be really useful. It's real common that you're going to have a clause in the trust that says that the trustee, the successor trustee, is not required to look into the acts of the prior trustees. But sometimes that can actually go, one, against public policy. Plus, that clause may not be in there. Maybe somebody took it out for some reason.
Or is it enforceable? Another.
Or it's enforceable. Mm-hmm. And I think one of the things in these cases, especially this matter of Donald E. Bradford Trust here, goes on is that it kind of like that's the judge wasn't really going for it. And in that case, the trustee was held liable here to the trust beneficiaries for not pursuing the prior trustee's breach. You know, there's a statute in Texas that mirrors this restatement here, and basically says that here it's got a three-part test that works out that that once again, if you have a situation where a trustee improperly permits it to continue, the breach to continue, fails to make reasonable efforts to compel the predecessor trustee to deliver the trust property, or fails to make reasonable efforts to compel or redress a breach of trust, you could be held liable yourself here. So this is one of these things where, and I think one of part of what we're getting to on this here is that when you're taking one of these things over, or if you're representing the trustee,